Today on Wings, the Beijing agenda today.
The high-level meeting of the General Assembly on the 30th anniversary of the Fourth World Conference on Women is called to order.
There's a river of birds in migration, a nation of women with wings.
Welcome to Wings, a series of news and current affairs programs by and about women around the world, produced and distributed by the Women's International News Gathering Service.
September 22, 2025, the President of the United Nations General Assembly convened heads of nations, organizations, and UN bodies to tell what they had done to fulfill the promises of the Fourth World Conference on Women and what obstacles stand in their way. Here are excerpts, starting with opening remarks of the General Assembly President herself, Annalena Baerbock.
Human rights are women rights, and women rights are human rights. When these famous words were spoken by Hillary Clinton 30 years ago in Beijing, they were revolutionary. If our daughters heard this today, wouldn't they rather think, why would women's rights not be human rights? Our daughters, who are the fastest sprinter in their high school, our daughters, who are CEO of an AI startup, our daughters who have watched their mothers become the first female president of the Marshall Islands, of Namibia, North Macedonia, Peru, Slovenia, or Suriname. All presidents joining us here today. Many of you, of us here in this room, held positions that when we ourselves were young seemed unattainable, but are now almost normal for the next generation. Because we stand on the shoulders of women who paved the way forward for us. Mr. Secretary General, Excellencies, feminist leaders, ladies and gentlemen, today we celebrate the courageous women who fought for every single phrase, for every single word in the Beijing Declaration. Their fight paid off, advancing women's rights, resources, and representation. Mama Mongella stated in 1995, a revolution has begun. There's no going back. Yet, 30 years later, the revolution remains unfinished. When highly qualified CEOs are called diversity hires, we remember how far we still have to go. There's no country in the world where women's rights are purely equal to men. And there are still too many places where even speaking about women's rights is a matter of life and death. Just weeks ago in Afghanistan, after the deadly earthquake, women and girls were left trapped in rubble as male rescuers were forbidden from touching them. As one survivor said, being a woman here means we are always the last to be seen. We see this also in Sudan, where the brutal civil war between two generals is literally being fought over women's bodies. I still have her voice in my ear. When one mother told me, while I was sitting with her in a refugee camp, that she wishes that they all would have been simply killed, instead of having to see her daughters being raped over and over again. This year alone, demand for life-saving post-rape support in Sudan increased almost 4 times. And this is no exception. 1 in 3 women globally will experience sexual violence at some point in her lifetime. 1 out of 3. This is us. And these battles extend to family planning. UNFPA estimates that today 1/4 of women are unable to make decisions about their own health care, and roughly 1/2 of all pregnancies are unintended. Delivering on Beijing, on this revolution, means also that no male politician, judge, or religious leader should dare to tell our girls what to do with their bodies. Cecilia Suarez is using her platform to speak out against this scourge in Latin America and the Caribbean, affecting as many as 76% of women in the region. But even in the darkest hours, women are not victims. They are survivors. They are heroes. Nadia Murad, Nobel laureate, not only survived the unthinkable crimes of ISIS, but gave Yazidi women a voice and by that defeated a terrorist organization. Women like Nadia Murad remind us that women's rights are not only human rights, but human rights are the best weapon for peace. Excluding women peace builders doesn't just reduce the possibility of peace, it undermines its very foundation and longevity. Therefore, we are celebrating today not only Beijing, but also 25 years of Resolution 1325 on women, peace, and security. Excellencies, Beijing and Resolution 1325 promised not only rights, but also resources. And there, the revolution has barely begun. At the current rate, reaching economic equality will take 123 years. But women's economic empowerment is not just about doing a favor for women, but a favor for every society, every economy. As they say, it's economics, stupid. Closing the gender gap would increase global GDP by $7 trillion. Which brings us to the third R, representation. We all know that when women are at the table, companies perform better, peace treaties last longer, and governments deliver more. Their presence is power. Yet, in this hall of principles, last year, fewer than 10% of speakers during high-level week were women. And out of all 80 presidents of the General Assembly, I'm only the 5th woman. Not even speaking about the Secretary General, where in 80 years we have never had a female SG. This is, as we can hear, not just a matter of representation, it's a matter of credibility, to practice what we preach. But it's not only who is leading, it is how we lead. Leadership means collaboration. The theme of this 80th session overall is better together. A motto which also guided Beijing, where so many women came together in networks like FemNet, led by Memory Kachamba, a guest speaker here also today. Ladies and gentlemen, today we celebrate this spirit of better together. Tomorrow we go back to work. As female presidents, as male presidents, as Olympic sprinters, as CEOs, as ordinary mothers and daughters. And just in case, while finishing the revolution from Beijing, we might hear that contemptuous phrase, "You run like a girl," we should remember what little girls all around the world would do. Exactly that. Fast as hell, even in high heels, showing that women's rights are always human rights, that they are our rights, our future. I now invite the Secretary General of the United Nations, His Excellency Antonio Guterres, to make a statement.
The Beijing Declaration and Platform for Action has helped to power advances in some critical areas: legal protection, political participation, education, maternal mortality, recognizing the need to tackle violence against women as a global priority, and more. But progress has been slow and uneven, and no nation has achieved full equality for women and girls. Sustainable Development Goal 5, gender equality, is lagging far behind. Hard-won gains are now under attack. Meanwhile, conflicts and climate disasters are multiplying, and the human rights of women and girls are casualties of both. Cultural and structural barriers remain entrenched, and technology is spreading hate like a virus. A wave of misogyny is rolling across the world. Let us be clear. Equal rights and opportunities are not partisan issues. They are global imperatives and the foundation of peace, prosperity, and progress.
On Wings, that was a clip of United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres speaking at the high-level meeting marking the 30th anniversary of the Fourth World Conference on Women. Excerpts from a few of the many other speakers follow. Diane Keita is Executive Director of the United Nations Population Fund.
Mr. Secretary General, Madam President, Excellencies, esteemed colleagues, 30 years ago, in Beijing, the world pledged to achieve gender equality and women's empowerment. 1 year earlier, at the International Conference on Population and Development in Cairo, government affirmed that sexual and reproductive health and reproductive rights are a precondition for women empowerment and essential to dignity and development. Beijing and Cairo go hand in hand, mutually reinforcing and universal. Today, we thank the member states for their effort. While significant progress has been made, it is fragile. Too many women still die giving birth. Too many women and girls are denied safety and opportunity. Millions of youth and marginalized people do not have their most basic needs met. And new threats are rising: climate change, increasing conflict, digital world, where technology, including artificial intelligence, can be fabulous opportunities when used properly, instead of being weaponized against women and girls. Demographic shifts are reshaping societies. Rapid population growth in some regions, aging in others, rising migration, systems are strained, inequalities deepen, reproductive rights come under threat. Let us recommit to do better together and make sure that no woman should die while giving life. Let's invest in rights and choices, the foundation of justice, prosperity, and peace. Merci.
I thank the Executive Director of the United Nations Population Fund. I now invite Ms. Reem Al-Salem, Special Rapporteur on Violence Against Women and Girls, its Causes and Consequences, to make her statement.
The Beijing Declaration and Platform of Action, the BDPA, gave the world a visionary blueprint that recognized the structural, societal, and individual causes of violence against women and their consequences. We must recommit to its promise with honesty and courage. That starts with returning to the original intent of the BDPA, not diluted, not reinterpreted, and to implementing it comprehensively and not superficially. Let me highlight six commitments that are especially urgent and pertinent today. First, we must reaffirm women's inherent dignity and humanity. The BDPA mentions dignity 7 times and humanity 5 times, reminding us that women are not a subset, but are half of humanity. Yet today, those words have vanished from our policy language as though women's most basic worth and rights could be set aside. If we lose the language of dignity and humanity, we lose the foundation of equality. Second, we must reclaim the material reality of being female. The BDPA references the term sex or a derivative of it 176 times, recalling that all major human rights instruments prohibit discrimination on that basis. And yet, 3 decades later, the architects of the BDPA would be in disbelief to learn that stating this truth is branded by some as hateful, outdated, and regressive. Third, we must confront the rampant commodification and objectification of women and girls. Their bodies, their sexuality, and even reproductive functions have been turned into products for the sale and purchase, creating patriarchal entitlements and control, both online and offline. The BDPA was gravely and rightly concerned with this exploitation, particularly of prostitution and trafficking for sexual exploitation, and urged states to prosecute those who profit from it. We must finally heed that call. Fourth, the BDPA identified aggression, colonialism, and foreign occupation as causes of grave violations. While governments stand idly by, women and girls, particularly in Palestine and in Afghanistan, are being intentionally and systematically targeted and destroyed. These atrocities and the impunity granted to their perpetrators expose the profound hypocrisy of governments who claim to defend women's rights while turning a blind eye to their annihilation. Fifth, the BDPA demanded accountability, but instead of an increased access to justice, we are seeing the opposite, on several fronts undermining rights hard won. Perpetrators of rape, trafficking, war crimes, and genocide walk free, flaunting their impunity while some governments boast of their support to them. And finally, the BDPA warned against excessive military spending, recognizing that militarization fuels violence against women while draining resources from peace, women empowerment, and ending violence, as well as social justice. Yet today, the global arms race intensifies, leaving women and girls to pay a hefty price. Excellencies, 30 years ago, states believed this agenda was achievable. If this was possible then, it is possible now, not as an act of charity, but as a necessity and undeniable right for women, for half of humanity. That half is watching, and that half will hold you to account. Thank you.
I thank the Special Rapporteur on Violence Against Women and Girls, Its Causes and Consequences. I now invite Ms. Nadia Murad, Nobel Peace Laureate and founder of Nadia's Initiative, to make her statement.
I was once a young woman living in peace until ISIS captured me and countless other women and girls, shattering our lives in unimaginable ways. Hundreds of these women and girls, including my niece, my sister-in-law, and my cousins, are still missing in captivity in Syria. Since my escape, I have met many women who endured unimaginable suffering and whose strength is extraordinary. But strength alone cannot rebuild lives. They need action, they need justice, they need resources. Women's organization, the Lifeline, in times of crisis remain underfunded and excluded. Perpetrators of sexual violence continue to enjoy impunity. The international community must hold accountable regimes groups and governments that deny women and girls the rights, those that legalize child marriage, restrict education, or enact discriminatory laws. Justice must extend beyond individuals to the system and structures that perpetuate inequality. If we are serious about the Beijing Platform for Action, then we must do three things. Fund the women's organizations on the front lines. Guarantee women's full participation in peace and security. Hold perpetrators and oppressive systems accountable, because impunity should never be an option. These are not just policies. They are promises we owe it to every woman and girl. Sustainable peace is impossible while half of humanity's population is silenced or targeted with violence. 30 years after Beijing, reflection is not enough. We must accelerate. The next generation of women and girls deserve to inherit no more promises, but the reality of equality, justice, and dignity. Thank you.
I thank Nadia Murad, and I now invite the Executive Director of the African Women's Development and Communication Network to make a statement.
Memory Zande Kachambwa is Executive Director of the African Women's Development and Communication Network, known as FEMNET.
I stand before you not as a one voice, but many that carry the breath of African women and girls from the mountains of Kilimanjaro to the shores of Dakar, the streets of Harare, and the villages of Mali. 30 years ago, the Beijing Declaration lit a flame. Women and girls danced. We sang together. The moment was not only symbolic. It was a covenant. And yes, there has been progress on care work, gender-responsive budgeting, on women, peace, and security, on the girl child and climate justice. But let us be honest, even though this has entered the discourse has not delivered. There's been persistent and deliberate gaps, particularly the chronic underfunding of national gender institutions and the many sectors that shape our lives: health, education, agriculture, livelihoods, as well as public service provision. We have seen the erosion of women's organizing and feminist movements. We have seen reversals of hard-won gains and rights undermining our demands and struggle. We African women and girls demand bold, transparent, and participatory accountability. We insist on inclusion of women and girls in all their diversity. Civil society is not the enemy of the state. We are co-creators of development. We are guardians of democracy. We are the architects of liberation. The backlash that we face is not just against gender equality. It's against the truth. It is against freedom. It's against the principles upon which these institutions celebrating 80 years has been founded. We must affirm feminist principles that offer real alternatives to the broken system. Ubuntu, our shared humanity and interdependence, reparative justice for colonialization, debt, and climate harm. Africa each year loses close to $60 billion through illicit financial flows. These are funds and resources that can make a huge impact on women's rights and gender equality. Your Excellency, we also face a lot on our peace as a continent, on the extraction that we see of critical resources in the name of advancing climate transition. We see systematic violence. Women and girls deserve a life free of violence, free from the misogyny, free from the technology-facilitated violence that we see, women and girls deserve to live and to thrive in dignity and joy. UNGA 80 must rise to this moment of reckoning and make bold, unapologetic resolve to fund gender equality and women's rights. It is non-negotiable. Thank you.
Memory Zande Kachambwa is executive director of the African Women's Development and Communication Network, known as FEMNET. The next speaker, Nala Haidar, chairs the United Nations Committee responsible for implementation of CEDAW. That stands for the Convention on the Elimination of All Forms of Discrimination Against Women. Adopted at the third UN World Conference on Women in 1995, the CEDAW Treaty has been ratified by nearly every country in the world, except the United States.
I now invite Ms. Nala Haidar, Chair of the Committee on the Elimination of Discrimination Against Women, to make her statement.
30 years after Beijing, it must be said loud and clear, gender equality is not a favor. It's not optional. It is justice, peace, and progress for all humanity. Its powerful blueprint mandated the world to tackle 12 urgent areas: poverty, education, violence, decision-making, among others. And it transformed global policies. But let us be honest. Around the world, we witness a backlash against women's human rights, their underrepresentation in decision-making, online abuse and discrimination against women being coded into new technologies. Moreover, we are horrified by the impact of conflict on women and girls. This is why CEDAW, the committee and the convention, matters more than ever. Beijing gave us the vision. CEDAW gives us the compass. The convention is legally binding. It holds states to account and measures progress and turns promises into rights that cannot be taken away. CEDAW covers every Beijing priority, defends women's economic rights, access to resources, calls for education, a force of transformation, places gender-based violence against women at the center of its concern and demands action. It advances women's voice in peace and security processes, and in that regard, CEDAW has just published an addendum on WPS.
WPS stands for Women, Peace, and Security. The speaker was Nala Haidar, chair of the United Nations Committee on the Elimination of Discrimination Against Women. You've been listening to excerpts from a high-level event convened by the UN General Assembly to share reports on the implementation of the terms to which the participant countries agreed at the Fourth World Conference on Women in Beijing. The entire event, consisting of many concise reports from all over the world, can be viewed on the UN TV website. For help finding the link, email wings@wings.org. Wings thanks all our supporters, including your local community radio stations, Suzette Cullen and Genevieve Vaughan, whose events can be found on the website maternalgifteconomymovement.org. Her books include The Gift in the Heart of Language, The Maternal Source of Meaning. The Wing Sound logo is from Libana's album A Circle is Cast. I'm Wing Series Producer Frida Worden. This is the Women's International News Gathering Service.